Proud of You is a parenting advice podcast and support group for dads hosted by two goofy dads. They are not pediatricians, nutritionists, OBGYNs, psychologists, nor are they authorities on parenting. They're just two dinguses trying to figure it all out. Their advice should not be taken as expert information. Parenting looks different for everyone, and there's no wrong way to be a dad. Frankly, if you're taking the time to listen to a podcast about it, you're already doing a great job. And these dads are proud of you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome back. I am Derek Mata.
And I am Andrew Goody, and we are proud of you. This week, we are responding to a listener topic. Thank you so much. We ask all the time for you guys to tell us what to talk about because we don't know. There's so much that goes into being a dad. One of our listeners reached out to Derek. Derek, you want to take the lead here and tell our listeners what we're going to be talking about today?
Yeah, so it was a really good topic, and you're going to be more the expert on this one, but I think we can tie into a lot of dads into this topic. So, like, listen to everything. Don't just be like, oh, this isn't for me because, you know, my kid's not breastfed. This can go from infancy to teenagers.
Spoilers, you got to lead with the topic. Come on.
No, that's all I'm getting there. I'm just saying, like, so, like, you know, when I say the topic, I don't want anybody to be like, oh, well, that's not me. Next episode. Yeah. So it was brought to me, like, listener has a newborn born. I want to say it was last week or 2 weeks ago. So brand new baby. Yeah. You know, that new baby smell. And he just feels useless as a dad because his daughter is breastfeeding. So obviously he is not needed. He's not needed for anything, or so he feels that way. And I was like, that's a great topic because I know a lot of us feel that way. And like I said, I know you're going to be the better expert on it than I am because my kids were breastfed for a little bit and then bottle fed.
Yeah. So I think, and you hit the nail on the head, right? This is applicable to more than just parents of breastfeeding kids, right? Because the core crux here is, how do I show up as a dad, right? Because the struggle that he's having is something that I felt, I was honestly more concerned about this before my daughter was born than the reality when she was actually, you know, born, which is, all babies do, like new infants, all babies do is eat, sleep, and poop. And she doesn't need my help to sleep. Wife's breastfeeding, that takes care of all the eating. All that leaves me with is poop. And I can change diapers all day long, but it feels a little bit like, you know, what else can I do? Am I just here? My wife and I joked a lot when Alana was born that Emily hates my stupid, useless nipples. because she was breastfeeding, and it's a full-time job, man. Like, there are statistics out there. I think I referenced it in our nutrition episode, but like, breastfeeding mothers burn like 6,000 calories a day. Like, no joke. It is like an Olympic exercise because you are making food, or they are making food whole cloth, right? Like, they have to eat so that their bodies can create food for this baby. And it's not just any food, it's the most nutrient rich nutrient dense food possible, because these babies are drinking, like, you know, a few ounces of milk a day and have to get all of their nutrients out of it. So your body is just working overtime, and my body wasn't doing any of that. So I totally relate to this listener, and the biggest thing that I will say is, one, talk to your wife, right? Like, because as unappreciated and as you know, hard of a time as you're having finding ways to show up, your wife is probably feeling overwhelmed and you know, overstimulated because she is the only thing in that baby's life, right? I mean, mom is the alpha and the omega. Like breastfeeding babies, those boobs are the world. That's their food, that's their comfort, that's their security, and that makes mom their food and their comfort and their security. And there's a lot of power in that, and it's really cool and it's really wonderful, and it's something that I'm really jealous that I'll never really get to experience. And I'm sure it's so overwhelming to have somebody who is entirely reliant on you 24/7, 365, who just wants to be, you know, biting your chest.
So yeah, no, I mean, it's and you broke it down really, really well too, because like I as a male, as a dad, like I never think about it. Like I'm over here like, man, I really wish my kid would hug me more. But like, yeah, when they're that small, like they are from birth like accustomed to mom is everything they need, air quotes here. And yeah, there's that connection. A dad will almost never have that same connection for obvious reasons. Like it's just not biologically possible.
Yeah. And it, you know, this can go for, you know, there are a million and one ways, right? Even if your kid isn't breastfeeding, I think this tends to be most relevant for fathers of breastfeeding children, but there are a lot of cases where you're bottle feeding your kids and baby doesn't want to take a bottle from dad because of, you know, that pheromonal bond that they have with mom or whatever it is. And so you can still end up in the same position. And even past that, sometimes it's just hard to know how to show up as a dad. Right. So I think this is an awesome topic. And like I said, my first point of advice, talk to your partner, find out what, like how they're feeling overwhelmed and what you can take off their plate. When Alana was born, I took over, and without going too down far into our birth story, which maybe we'll discuss in another episode, maybe we won't, but we ended up having a semi-emergent C-section. Which is not what we had planned at all. We had planned a natural birth. And so that our plan obviously shifted, right? And it was our plan, you know, E or F. It was pretty far down the line, but yeah. We talked about the realities of the fact that it could happen. And so we, you know, delivered in a hospital and Emily was wiped out. And so like my just, you know, situational trauma response instincts, assess the situation, find the stresses, take away the pain points. The hospital had like a spreadsheet to fill out of like hour by hour, how many wet diapers the baby had, how many poopy diapers the baby had. And I think it was like whether or not mom had eaten. There was something else on there.
How many times the baby has eaten? I think it was the how many times the baby has eaten.
That might be it. Yeah, how many times the baby is nursed. But it's this, and I'll see if I can find it. I'm sure there's a generic one that I can throw up on our socials or something when we post this episode. But it filling out that sheet, like I hard locked into it, right? So like I changed the baby's diapers the entire time we were in the hospital because I was going to take care of that because I couldn't feed the baby. I made sure that sheet was filled out and communicated with the nurses because it was one less thing that Emily had to do. She could focus on resting and recovering from the traumatic event of having given been in labor and given birth, plus the traumatic event of an unexpected surgery, right? Because a C-section is a major abdominal surgery. It doesn't get addressed properly, but like it's a big deal. And so like she needed to rest, she needed to recover, and her body was burning tons of calories feeding this new baby. And she was like, so that was her job, right? Her job was rest, relax, feed the baby. Everything else I took. And it really, that's diapers for a lot of it. And making sure that, you know, in a hospital situation, making sure that the baby can sleep safe. So, you know, if mom is holding the baby and starts to fall asleep because she's exhausted from labor, taking the baby, putting it in a crib, or holding the baby while the baby sleeps so that mom can sleep. And a lot of what I'm going to suggest here for how you show up as a dad for a breastfeeding mom is not showing up for your kid. It's showing up for your wife, because your partner is taking care of that baby, right? I can't breastfeed Alana, but Emily can. So I show up for Emily because she's showing up for Alana. And transitive property, that means I'm showing up for Alana.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that changes a lot and looks different as you go through that path of, you know, getting home from the hospital and sleeping overnight and what that looks like, because nursing overnight, I mean, let me tell you, 21 months deep, Emily still doesn't get 8 hours of sleep. It's not possible because she's a light sleeper and a lot of nurses overnight, and we bed sleep, or we co-sleep. So when Alana wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning and wants to nurse, it wakes Emily up. And again, we discussed it in the sleeping episode. That is a choice that we've made. It's a hard choice, but it's one that we have landed on. So how me showing up in the middle of the night looks is sometimes laying against Emily to provide back support, because sitting up and nursing a baby is taxing and shitty on your body, right? So if you don't have to use your core muscles to sit up and nurse your baby, and you can lean against my back, I can take some of that stress off of her so that she's more comfortable. Nursing in public, geez, man. There's a company called The Little Milk Bar. I'll tag their Instagram because it's a clothing company for breastfeeding moms, The Little Milk Bar.
I mean, it makes sense. Never heard of it.
Dude, it's so good. So there, I hard aligned with and have adopted a phrase that they had on a shirt that they make for dads, that is milk maker bodyguard. Because women nursing in public is a whole thing, man. And like, no matter what your feels on it are, mine are, that my wife is feeding my daughter and it's none of your fucking business. So
exactly. Like, my kid comes before your comfort.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm also, I mean, I'm a big old hippie, and most of our listeners have probably figured that out by now. So like, my wife doesn't use like a cover or anything. She just whips a boob out and they have lunch, and that's how it goes down. And 99% of the time, that's totally fine. But 1% of the time, there's a shitty boomer or some creepy dude or whatever. And so just being there to be that barrier and to be that, you know, I mean, I'm also coming at this transparently with just a shit ton of tall, broad-shouldered, white, bearded guy privilege, that no one's going to fuck with my wife if I'm standing between her and them. So like, take that with a grain of salt, but that's something I can do, right? Like, yeah. I can show up and be the tall, broad-chested dude who's between my nursing wife and whatever that 1% problem in the world is. Frankly, it's probably more than 1%, but I like to believe that most of the world is good.
Yeah, as you should. Like,
yeah.
So we're touching on the topics of assisting them during the breastfeeding. What are some other ways that he can show up for his wife? And you know, I'm saying his wife because it is his wife, but in other people's cases, they're significant others. Like, what other ways, like, let's say once you got Alana home, what are some ways that you helped Emily during the newborn process?
So, I mean, this goes for any dad, right? And you can probably chime in here too, because it's not exclusive to breastfeeding mothers. Motherhood is a lot, right? So like, ways that I showed up for Alana, again, were me showing up for my wife, holding Alana so that Emily could take a shower. You know, holding your kid so that your wife can get a nap, or you know, again, we co-sleep, so the baby's in the bed. If I fall asleep and keep her close to me so that when she starts to wake up or kick or wiggle a little bit, but doesn't need to nurse, I can be the one to soothe her back to sleep, or you know, provide that care and that comfort that she needs, as long as what she needs is not to nurse, right? And by doing that for the first 4 hours of the night, or however long your baby, obviously it gets longer and longer the older your kid gets, but however long your child can go between nursing, your wife can get at least most of that time uninterrupted sleep while you're holding the baby, or, you know, comforting the baby, however that looks in your particular situation.
Yeah. So what I was kind of getting at is like, so my wife's whole thing is a clean house. And I bet you there's a lot of moms, a lot of wives, a lot of significant others that a clean house. Do I help clean? Like, I'm gonna admit, like, no, because I'm the kind of person, like, my kids live here, I live here. It doesn't need to be a show house.
Yeah.
But to my wife, like, a clean house meant ever to this day. My kids are, my youngest is 2 years old now. To this day, a clean house, it would make her fucking week. So like, if your wife is significant others the same way, clean the house. Like, let them rest while the baby's sleeping and she's sleeping. Clean the house, even if it's wiping a couple counters down, vacuuming the, I guess not vacuuming the floor, even though I'm a huge proponent of make some noise, but then they get used to it and they're not light sleepers. My youngest son, he's like me, like a mouse farts and he wakes up. My daughter, being a NICU baby, like World War III could be going on and she's sleeping like a rock. But, you know, just little things like that, like just organizing some toy, putting diapers away, refilling. I don't know how you do it, but like a little diaper box in each room, making sure the diapers and the wipes are stocked. Like, they're small things that add up to bigger things that are more helpful than you think they are.
Yeah. So this goes to a topic that comes up a lot when people talk about balancing responsibilities in a relationship, which is the concept of mental load, right? I don't know if you're familiar with the idea of the mental load, but the typical, stereotypical household, the woman carries a lot more of the mental load for the household, which is to say, day to day, most of the time, I am not walking through my house thinking, I need to dust those shelves, I need to mop this floor, I need to vacuum this rug, I need to restock the diapers in that bin over there. And again, we speak in generalities on the show because we have to speak in generalities, but in a stereotypical household, that tends to be the case. When your wife becomes a mother, you have to take some of that on, because she's not going to be able to shoulder the entirety of the mental load of the household and of parenthood. And by can't, I mean probably can, but really shouldn't have to. You should pick up some of that load. And by load, I mean the socks that I left on the couch that I should go.
I mean, I'm guilty of it too. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's just a default setting that, like, for again, speaking in broad generalities, for most guys, it's our house. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be, you know, immaculate. We can leave stuff laying around and it's going to be okay. For most women, most wives, if you will, the most moms out there, that matters a lot. And I think part of it is just a huge societal piece of, women are always judging other women, which yeah. Sucks, but it's true. And so they're always comparing themselves and holding themselves. I think, frankly, that's why women are, like, in general, better put together, better dressed, better smelling, and cleaner than men, is because they hold themselves to a way higher standard. The shitty thing about that is they do that because they feel like they have to, or else they're going to be judged negatively by another woman. Man, my wife is listening to this somewhere screaming at me to shut up right now. But
it's true, though, because, like, that my wife is the same way. Like, those people are going to come through the door, and I'm like, well, who are those people? And then I'll do what you need me to.
Who are those people, and why the fuck are they in my house?
Yeah, like, those people.
Who are you inviting over that cares that I left my jacket on the couch?
I love you, honey. But it's kind of going back to a point you just made that was like the moms are, you know, the newborn, the mothers are gonna feel like they have to. And they're like, no, I got it. But like I didn't do this. I have learned this after many conversations with my wife after the fact. And so now I feel like I can give this advice because like I missed all the cues. I'm that guy that, oh, you said you'll get it? Okay, like whatever. Like I'm a piece of shit.
Hey man, that's what this show is for. It's not because Derek and I are the best partners and the best dads in the world. We're sharing with you what we've learned from both our successes and our, in this case, missteps.
Yeah. So and it's, you know, my wife is like, oh, I'll do that, I'll do this, and like there's many times I should have been like, no, like I can get it. Like and yes, they're gonna fight you on it. They every single fucking time, but eventually you'll wear them down and be like, you know what? I don't need to go dust that shelf. I don't need to vacuum the floor that nobody's been walking on for a week and a half. Like,
well, but the reality of it is whether it needs to be done or not, that thing that I'm just gonna say it, that dumb thing that I don't care about, like whether the rug in the living room has been vacuumed in the last 48 hours, doesn't matter to me, but right. Is weighing on my wife's conscience, which means it's taking up space in her life. And if you want to show up for your wife and for your kid and make things easier, take some of that mental load. Vacuum the fucking rug, because it's not gonna hurt you and it's gonna help her. And at the end of the day, that's the dream, right? Like you want to help your wife be the best mother that you can and show up that way. There are also other ways that you can show up, especially as your kid gets older, right? Because I don't know. Obviously we didn't deep dive into this listener question. I don't know what their plan is. Some people breastfeed for 3 months. Some people breastfeed for 6 months. Some people breastfeed for 3 years. And it really just depends on what the mother wants, what the comfort level is, what the baby wants and needs, what the milk supply is like. Like, I mean, there's a million and one factors, but I don't know what their plan is. But as your kid gets older and older, there are more and more ways to show up, right? Because right now, like I said, eat, sleep, poop, that's all you got. So yeah. show up for mom so she can help out with the eat and sleep part of that. And if you want to man up and take on the poop part, do it. That's like, because that's all you got is that one third, right? Like, change those diapers, dads, because it's all we got. But as your kid gets older, then, you know, you can play with them. You can, you know, one of the big things that I do, that I've done since Alana was, old enough to safely leave the house without having to worry about her ending up in an iron lung from polio and rubella or whatever, is I do our grocery shopping. Now that we have a baby, and I did some of it before because Emily doesn't like going to stores and I do, but now it's like a primary thing. I go to the store. And the reason that I do that is because I take Alana to the grocery store and I do our grocery shopping for the week. And that gives me and Alana time to have fun, and we make a game out of it, right? Like sometimes now she's, you know, almost 2 years old, she'll get out and she'll like push the cart with me, or, you know, she'll sit in the little basket and I'll like point at the thing on the shelf that we want and she'll grab it and throw it in the cart. And like, we have a good time and we have fun and it's bonding for us. And the grocery shopping gets done. And Emily has, in our case, usually when I'm grocery shopping, 2 hours to, yeah, man, like I said, we make a game of it. We have fun. Also, you have to factor in that's like Sprouts, Walmart, Costco is the...
Man, you're doing way too much. One store, that's it.
Anyway, so like... it gives... Well, but again, like the point of this is that I'm getting Alana out of the house, which means yeah. I'm getting Emily alone time to take a shower, read a book, clean that one thing that's been on her mind that I didn't know was on her mind. Hey, quick rewind, talk to your wife about the mental load, because the reason you don't think about it is because we don't know, right? That yeah. That rug getting vacuumed doesn't bother me in the same way that my wife doesn't know when the oil in her car gets changed because I carry that mental load. Talk to your wife about the things that she's thinking about and the mental load that she's carrying. She can help you figure out what you should be doing. Communication is the key to any healthy relationship. It's a cornerstone. Talk to your wife, talk to your wife, talk to your wife. So when we're at the store, Emily can take a shower. She can read a book. She can sleep without a person next to her. Like, there's a million and one things that she can do. That time is her time. And it's so multifaceted, right? Because I'm giving my wife the gift of time and autonomy. I'm giving my daughter the gift of my time and creating those memories and those fun situations with her. And I'm providing for my household in, you know, stocking the fridge, stocking the freezer, stocking the pantry. And for me, because I'm the primary chef in the house, that goes hand in hand with, I put together the meal plan. I take my daughter to the store. We go get everything for the week. We come home, we cook whatever dinner is going to be that night. And then, you know, that gives even more time, especially now, you know, Alana's a little bit older and she's got a little activity tower and she can like get up on the counter and help me. Obviously she's not like, you know, chopping carrots or anything, but she can flip pancakes and crack eggs on all on her own. So she's got breakfast pretty well covered.
No, like it was the communication part. Cause I, again, I'll admit, like I didn't have the best communication. And so just to really push that point home is, the smallest things that mean nothing to you will be the biggest things that mean to them. And that's going to create that fight. And you're going to be like, where did this come from? Because you're expecting to be on the same level, but like, how are you supposed to be there if you're not, hey, how you seem a little down today. What's going on? Like,
yeah. And that's the check-in that matters, right? Like, again, I don't think that it would be reasonable for your wife to know all of the parts of the house that she wants cleaned, or, and I'm again, gross generalities here, horrible stereotypes, painting with a broad brush, all the things I hate the most, but we have to do it here. Like, it would not be reasonable for your wife to expect you to know that. In the same way that it wouldn't be reasonable for you to expect your wife to know all of the things that you do unless you talk about them. So talk about them. Like, I can't emphasize that enough. I will die on the hill of communication. It is the most critical thing that you can do in any relationship, but especially in a, you know, parent partnership, is just talk to each other, because that's how you're going to figure out what support you need and what support they need. And then you can both start showing up for each other.
Yeah. And I think that's the, and like, I obviously don't know what his relationship is, and it's easy to fall into that rut of, well, she doesn't need anything. Like, don't do that. Don't fall into that laziness. You'll get trapped there. Trust me, from experience, many times I never fucking learned. Like, if you're feeling useless, like you said, ask the question, hey, what do you need me to do? You know, while you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs, waiting for your wife to need something, think about, what does she usually do that I see her do that hasn't been done lately? Okay, I'm going to do that. If she doesn't even want it, you know what? You're putting the fucking effort in.
Yeah. And honestly, like, dads out there, this is so helpful for your wife. It's also really helpful for you, because postpartum depression and baby blues is not something that just happens to mom. It's really easy to get depressed as a dad. And I don't have the psychological statistics on this, so I won't say 100%, but I would be willing to step out on a limb and say the biggest reason that dads get depressed is because they feel like they're not useful to their kids. They feel like, oh, mom is the world, right? And especially, I'll warn you, new dads out there, your kid's gonna go through a phase. It happens at different times for everybody. For me, it was like 9 months until, frankly, still a little bit going on, where like, they want nothing to do with you. Mom is the world. And like, I My daughter will look me in the eyes and ask me for a banana, and then if I try to give it to her, she'll cry, because what she wants is for me to give Emily a banana so Emily can give the banana to Alana.
Yep, and my kids will do, my two youngest will do the same thing. Like, and
it will happen. It will suck. It's really hard not to take personal. Doing things like this, showing up in as many ways as you can, will help you subvert that feeling of inadequacy and depression that can come so easily when your kid is always asking for mom.
The stages change constantly. For the longest time, my youngest son was like, dad, love me. And then my daughter recently was in this huge, like, I love my daddy the most kind of thing. And I was like, my life is so great. The other day, well, I think it was yesterday, actually, my wife went to go do something. She went to go volunteer, and she was gone for what, 2-3 hours? I don't know the exact time. The entire time, my daughter, mommy, mommy. The only time she stopped was when she was eating her dinner, and then again until bedtime. Like, and she doesn't care. Like, dad's there. Her once favorite person is no longer the one she wants. So like the waves will come and go. So don't feel bad on, you know, don't feel down when you're like, oh man, I feel useless again because my daughter doesn't need me. My son doesn't need me. Like, just keep doing what you're doing. They'll come back around and you'll be the best person ever. And your significant other will be the one feeling how you're feeling. I mean, and jokingly, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, again, it's all in love, man. Like the your kids love you. It can be hard to feel sometimes because, again, sometimes, and like right now, like I jokingly said, like, it's still going on, but like Derek said, it comes and goes in waves, right? Yesterday, my daughter and I were sleeping in our bed and my wife was sleeping in the guest room because I put Alana down for bed, and she's like in this super wiggly phase where bed looks like her and I watching Star Wars for an hour and a half until she passes out in my arms. I know it sounds so terrible. My life is great. but if Emily is there, all she wants to do is nurse, right? Because like, not to sound, somebody's going to clip this and I'm going to get canceled, but if boobs are available, I want boobs. It goes for babies too.
But, of course you phrase it that way.
But like, if Emily goes to sleep when I take her for bed, she gets an extra hour and a half of sleep before Alana actually, you know, goes to sleep. So anyway, completely contrived long story short, she and I fell asleep in our bed and Emily was in the guest bed. And usually that will run for 4 to 6 hours until Alana kind of wakes up for that first wake of the night when she's ready to nurse or wants just the comfort of mom. And she'll wake up saying mama and look around, and if Emily's in the bed, she'll, you know, come off of my shoulder and she'll crawl over to Emily and she'll like curl up with her or nurse with her or whatever that looks like. Last night she was asleep and she woke up and she said dada, and then she opened her eyes and she looked at me and she laid her head on my chest and she fell right back asleep. And I was like, dude, I was a mess. I was sobbing, like, tears in the beard, man. It was like one of the sweetest moments, but like, it comes and goes. So cherish those moments when they're there so that you don't take it personally when they wake up and all they want is mama.
I mean, that's, and you know, for the listener that had this comment, is like you said, cherish all those little moments, because I, to this day, I remember the last time my daughter fell asleep on me. Like, it is ingrained in my head because something told me, like, this probably isn't going to happen again. And it hasn't. And it kills me. Like, if my daughter lays her head on my shoulder, like, I melt. Like, this guy who shows no emotion ever, I melt, because like, it is just the sweetest thing in the world. And you never know when when will be that last time? My wife, she, you know, she's fallen asleep on my wife plenty of times since, but never again on daddy. And it's heartbreaking. So like, cherish every single moment. You know what they say, like, you never realize the last time you, or you never realize when you pick your kid up for the last time, something like that. And so I make sure to pick up my kids all the time. I don't care how heavy they are. Like, it's those little moments, and they'll be gone for, you know, before they'll be teenagers soon, and they're only 2 and 3 and I'm going to miss picking them up.
It's crazy how fast it goes. Like, everybody says that, but until you're in it, you really don't understand. Exactly. Like, it goes so quick. And if you're listening to this, you're probably a dad and you probably know, and you're probably looking at pictures on your phone of your kid 3 months ago and they look completely different and you're real heartbroken about how fast it's going. But yeah, I mean, so the core here, I mean, we keep coming back to it, but communication, to this listener, that's the biggest advice that I can give you. And frankly, whatever topic you bring to us, I will come back with that, because communication is probably going to solve a lot of your problems as a dad. Talk to your kid, talk to your wife, and be honest with yourself too about how you're feeling, because those check-ins are important too.
Yeah, because, you know, if you can't be truthful with yourself, then you can't be truthful with somebody else.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for this question. This is one that hits very close to home for me, and I hope my experiences and Derek's experiences helped you out. You know who you are. Both the listener who asked this and everybody who's watching this, right? Because I think, you know, like Derek said in the beginning, I think this content is not exclusive to parents of breastfeeding children. I think this is pretty universal for dads who are struggling to know how to show up. And the weird kind of shitty short answer is, do the things your wife normally does.
To put it as simply as possible, yeah.
To break it down to its core principles, ask your wife what she does around the house and do those things around the house for her. Please keep the questions coming, keep the topics coming. You know, we don't struggle to come up with topics. There's so much to being a dad. We could talk about a million and one different things, and we will talk about a million and one different things, but we want to know what you want to hear. Tell us what struggles you're having. Tell us what wins you're having.
Yes.
Because we'd love to share those too, right? It's not all about the hard times. Sometimes it's that time your kid woke up and said, "Dada." And you know, we could talk for hours about the good things too. So thank you so much for listening to this episode, for joining us, for submitting those questions, for telling us your stories too, right? It doesn't have to be a question. Let us know, when was the last time your kid fell asleep on you? If you have an older kid that doesn't nap on you anymore, tell us that story, and you know, maybe warn some other dads out there to savor those naps while we still have them. You know, I say it every week, but please, if you're new here, like, comment, subscribe, turn on your notifications if you're watching this on YouTube. It really does help out the algorithm, and it helps us share this content with more dads out there and reach more you know, people who are struggling with the same things that you're struggling with and having the same, you know, depression and feelings of inadequacy and concerns and joys, frankly, that also come with being a father. We want to reach as many people as we can, and we can't do that without your help, because we don't pay a single penny to advertise this show. We wouldn't even know where to start. So it's all word of mouth, and we can't do that unless you open your mouth and tell people about us. So, you know, share this, and let us know what you want our next episode to be. Derek, anything to any sage wisdom for dads on showing up here?
I got nothing. We covered it. We covered it a lot. Like, pretty much every base is good.
I love it. Well, until next week, I'm Andrew Goody.
And I'm Derek Mata.
And we are proud of you.